Thank you. Is there a songbook here? Is there a songbook in the temple? Hare Krishna. So, good, there's a songbook. I thought we could sing that song, Nitai Pada Kamala, today. How many of you know the word? How many of you can repeat the words if you hear them? Okay. So, Nitai Pada Kamala. Let's see. We have some devotees visiting from Dallas, isn't it? Who's from Dallas? Anyone else visiting from anywhere else? Any extra planetary? Anyone from outside the galaxy? So, this song, which Prabhupada sang on several occasions, recorded on several occasions, is from Narottam Das Thakur's songbook called Prarthana, which means something like prayers, appealing to the Lord. And this particular song is called Manakshiksha, which means literally teachings to the mind, teaching one's own mind. So, Nitai Pada Kamala, the lotus feet of Nitai, Nityananda. Nitai is kind of a Bengali nickname, just like Nimai, Nitai, and Gadai, and so on and so forth. Well, just like in English, we make nicknames by adding the vowel E, like Johnny, Bobby, Patty, Ricky, Robbie, and so on. So all over the world, they have ways of making nicknames. And apparently in Bengal, they did it by not E. It wasn't like Bobby or Jimmy and so on. It was by adding this I. So Nitai. So that's just it was just a Bengali way of making a more familiar form of the name. For Nityananda, so Nitai Pada Kamala. The lotus feet of Nityananda, Koti Chandra Sushitala. Shita in Sanskrit means cold. If you know from the Gita, Shitoshna, Sukha, Dukha, Don, so on. And Shitala, the La, kind of makes it like cool rather than just cold. If you know Spanish, like Frio Sito. So, and then Su means very, so very cool. Sushitala. Very cool, are as very cool as Koti Chandra, as tens of millions of moons. And of course, Prabhupada explains in his purport how, especially if you live in hot places, when the moon comes out at night, people feel it's kind of cooling because it's evening and so on. So Jai Chaye, in that shade, in the shade of those lotus feet, Jagat Jurai, the universe finds peace. Finds comfort in the shade of those lotus feet. Again, India, a little cultural anthropology here. India is a tropical country where for the vast majority of people that live in India who don't live way up in the mountains, the problem is more heat than cold. And so therefore, in India, a tropical country, shade is a very positive thing. Whereas if you lived in a cold place, you wouldn't want to be in the shade. So again, from that particular climate, shade is cooling, it's refreshing, it's comforting to be in the shade. So therefore, shade is given often as an image of something which is cooling, comforting, refreshing, and so on. So Jai Chai, Jagat, Judai, the universe, the whole world finds comfort, relief, as Prabhupada puts it, in that shade. And Heno Nitai Vine Vai. So, as such, Heno means something like Heno Nitai Vine Bai. Bai, brother, or sister, it's just, it's Yeah, I mean, it's a common thing in different cultures. You address people as brother or sister, a sense of the human family. And so without that nitai, in other words, now that you've heard what the qualities of Nityananda, namely his lotus feet are more cooling than tens of millions of moons, and in that shade the whole world can be relieved. So considering that, without that nitai, Radha Krishna Paite Nai, you will not achieve Radha Krishna. Dirdha Kori Dharo Nitai Pai. So you should be very firm, be very resolved about this, that you have to actually achieve the shelter of Nityananda. Something you should make as a firm resolution. Se sambandha nahi jar, vrata janma gelotar. And one who does not have a relationship with Nityananda, sambandha. One who does not have, even the word relationship in Sanskrit, here it's Bengali, but it's just Sanskritic Bengali, is interesting. The word sambandha, bandha, of course, is just our English word bind or bondage. So it's the same word, bund, bind, and so. And so sung together, as in Sankirtan, chanting together. So sambandha literally means bound together. Bound together. So it's not merely relationship in the sense that, I mean, relationship is sort of a neutral word. It doesn't really imply any intimacy at all. It's just a relationship. But sambandha really, literally has a sense of binding two people together. So it's an interesting word. Anyway, so se sambandha nahi jar, one who does not have, one who has not been bound together, who has not been tied to Nityananda, who does not have a relationship with Nityananda, se sambandha nahi jar, vrita janma gelotar, that person's life passed in vain. That person's life passed in vain. Se pashu baro durachar. And Prabhupada, in his famous song purport, says that Narottam Das Thakur here uses a harsh word. He says that person who has no relationship with Nityananda, whose life has gone in vain, literally gone in vain, Narottam Das Thakur said he's an animal. Se pashu. Pashu just means animal, beast. He's an animal, baro durachar, very misbehaved or very ill-behaved, durachar. Very ill-behaved animal. Strong medicine here, tough love. But then again, when we get these statements, these strong statements, which we do get sometimes, such as one who doesn't know Krishna is a this or a that, or here one who doesn't have a relationship with Nityananda is a very ill-behaved animal. And so, what is it? Now, as we know, we don't just go out in public and tell everybody that you're a very ill-behaved animal. We only say it to certain people. But, so on the one hand, you have statements in the scriptures that say that we should see everyone as part of God, see everyone as, even if Paramahansa sees everyone engaged in the Lord's service and so on. Here again, we find this tension, or you could say balance, this harmony, this balance between Veda and Aveda. On the one hand, everyone is there. On the one hand, there is an abheda, a non-difference between all living creatures, because everyone is equally part of Krishna. Everyone is equally part of Krishna. Everyone is equally loved by Krishna. At the same time, there is a dramatic veda. There's a dramatic difference. Some people are engaged in what you can only describe as evil, and some people are engaged in the highest good. And these things cannot, in every sense, be equated. So, in a sense, it depends on your perspective. Sometimes there's a mood where you need to see the oneness, and sometimes you need to see the difference. And again, if we say, how bad is it not to have a relationship with Nityananda? I mean, how bad is that? Well, you can look at it from the point of view of someone that's trying their best to worship God or trying their best just to be good to other people and tend their little garden and so on. And you can say, well, you know, there's some poignancy here. Here's a person that's just doing their best, and someday they'll get to Krishna, and there's there's piety in this person's character and so on. And so, and sometimes that's the way to look at it. Sometimes Prabhupada looked at it that way. Sometimes Prabhupada looked at it that way. On the other hand, sometimes we look at it from the other point of view. If you consider how great Nityananda is, then how bad it is not to have a relationship with Nityananda directly is a function of, to use a mathematical term, is directly a function of how good it is to know him. In other words, how bad is it to lose something? Well, how valuable was the thing you lost? Now, if you're not aware of the value of what you lost, if you're not aware of the value of what you lost, you may not lament it. So, if you take an ignorant person that's just tending their little ethical garden or whatever they're doing, trying to have a good life, and a person doesn't really know about Nityananda, you could say, well, there's no real egregious evil here. The person is not trying to harm other people. It's just some poor, ignorant person, as Prabhupada would sometimes see it, just some innocent person. On the other hand, if you look at that person from the point of view of the highest ecstasy, if you fully consider how great Nityananda is, then the loss of not having Nityananda is incalculable. It's almost an indescribable loss. And Nityananda is valuable not merely in the sense that it's, you know, it's nectar, it's bliss, it's ecstasy. I just got a letter from a disciple of mine who was describing some of her ecstatic symptoms, and in sort of dramatic detail, and then asked me what she could do to get that ecstasy again. Anyway. Obviously not the point, right? So the point is that Nityananda is so valuable not merely because he brings the highest pleasure, which he does. His very name is Nityananda, eternal bliss. But also because, philosophically speaking, Nityananda, by bringing us to pure Krishna consciousness as the original spiritual master, Balaram, Nityananda is also the highest goodness. And so to say that someone is bad, or to say that someone's behavior is bad, as an ethical calculation, speaking in the language of philosophical ethics, to say that someone's behavior is bad is to say that to that extent it lacks goodness. The extent to which, in fact, Prabhupada used this argument, which is, by the way, the same argument used by the great Christian theologian Augustine, in the sense that, well, if everything comes from God, janmadhyasya jataha, everything emanates from Krishna, what about evil? And to which Prabhupada replied, as Augustine indeed replied to the same question, that evil is the absence of good. And in fact, Augustine, I think, gave the example, or at least someone teaching about Augustine gave the example, that imagine if you have a shirt and the shirt has some tear, some hole in it. So that hole in the shirt is not a thing. It's just some defect in the shirt. It's something, some deficiency in the shirt. And so in that way, Prabhupada talked about evil as a moral deficiency, as a lack of goodness. And so if you take that seriously, then how deficient, how morally deficient a particular person is can only be calculated by understanding how deficient they are, and how deficient they are is based on how good they could be. Because if someone could be very good and they're not, in other words, how far are they from what they could or should be? From their own, so to speak, state of nature. That if you take a person in a natural state where they're not being corrupted or distracted or affected by anything which is fundamentally not them, or fundamentally incompatible with them, or fundamentally opposed to their greatest, to their real nature, then what is a person? And so, in relationship to Nityananda, one becomes so good, one achieves such an unlimited moral excellence. And we sometimes talk about morality is being something which one transcends by coming to Krishna consciousness, something that we very dutifully practice in the early days of this movement by all kinds of immoral behavior. But of course, that's not the real point. The real point is that Krishna consciousness may be above worldly morality, but at the same time, the devotee practices, for the most part, worldly morality. Krishna says don't, even someone who is taking pleasure in the self still does the normal duties. And when we, ultimately, the word moral doesn't mean mundane morality. Moral simply means talking about good and bad. And so there is some things which are spiritually good, and there are things which are bad for spiritual life. And so there is a moral dimension to spiritual life. I mean, that's something which has to be understood, because sometimes I think devotees have misunderstood statements like, one who has unflinching devotion for Krishna automatically develops all the qualities of the demigods and so on. But of course, but the point is, that's if you have pure devotion. Prabhupada constantly was trying to inculcate morality in his disciples. If you read Prabhupada's letters, you'll find innumerable statements about keeping clean, being respectful to other people, behaving like a lady or a gentleman. So if you take morality simply to mean doing things which are good and beneficial, the highest morality is, for example, to spread Krishna consciousness. Or the most ethical thing you can do in relation to yourself is to become a pure devotee. And so there is a very powerful moral dimension to Krishna consciousness. In fact, every sentence, say speaking English now, any English sentence which has the word should or must in it is a moral statement. In a sense, that's precisely what we mean by a moral statement. So any English statement at all which has the word should in it or has the word must in it is a moral statement. So anyway, if you consider what our actual duties are, and if you consider that in relationship to Nityananda, one develops unlimited goodness, not merely ecstasy. I mean, the ecstasy comes from the goodness. We should recall that. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Satvat Sanjayate Sukham, happiness comes from goodness. So it's not that we're cultivating happiness, we're cultivating virtue, and the highest virtue is Krishna consciousness. And from that, so if... Time out. So, if, as Krishna says, Satvat Sanjayate Sukham, that happiness comes from virtue, then if, as well, not if, but as we know, Nityananda is the source of the greatest happiness. He's Nityananda, eternal happiness. So that must mean that, therefore, Nityananda is the source of eternal virtue, the greatest virtue. And so, getting back to the statement by Narottam Das Thakur that Sesam Bandha Nahi Jar, Vritha Janma Gelo Tar, one who does not have a relationship with Nityananda, that person's life literally has gone in vain. Literally their birth, actually, janma, which means like their life, that birth has gone in vain. Sepa Shubara Durachar, that person is a very misbehaved animal. So how misbehaved a person is depends on what their behavior should be. And so if you consider the behavior that comes when you're fully conscious of Nityananda and have a powerful relationship with him, then not to behave in that way, according to Narottam Das Thakur, is to be very misbehaved. And of course, that's one perspective. That's looking at reality from that high perspective. And then that's balanced by the many occasions on which it's appropriate to see things from a different perspective. So in that sense, Krishna consciousness is one truth, but of course it has multiple perspectives. And it's the harmony of these perspectives which makes us healthy, just as people. And we can see that in Prabhupada, is multiple perspectives. Ecstatic perspectives in which if you're not Krishna conscious, you're a total loser. And sometimes just being very nice and generous to people and seeing only their good qualities and ignoring their... I mean, it's like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, of course, could be stronger than the thunderbolt and softer than the rose. Sometimes he offered respect to sannyasis that were debauchees, but just because they were dressed like sannyasis, he just kind of was in the mood of being a good citizen. And so there are different moods. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There are different moods in Krishna consciousness, but ultimately it's one reality, multifaceted. Anyway, so back to this song. Narottam Das Thakur says, Nitaina bolilo mukhe. One who never, literally with his mouth, never said nitai. Mukhe. He's getting very specific. In other words, you have to actually physically say nitai. Nitai na volilo mukhe, majilo sangsara sukhe. That person is merged, majilo, in material happiness. The happiness of just being born and dying. Which is obviously not real happiness. Vidyakule ki kori betar. And that person's education and family or community, kula, what will they do? Ki koribe. In other words, it's a rhetorical question. In other words, what use is it? What will they do? What will they do, that person's so-called knowledge and community, which Prabhupada talks about as an aristocrat, you know, if you think you come from a very respectable family, or in general. I mean, the meaning actually can apply in many ways, because we find that people from all sorts of backgrounds are very proud of their people and their neighborhood and their, you know, these are my people, man. That kind of mood. So, you know, it's a whole ethnic thing, a whole tribal thing, my people, my communities. Everyone's into that. Everyone's into that. And so, and everyone is more or less a smart aleck in this world. So vidyakule ki kori betar means that we're proud that, you know, we think we know something. Either people have formal academic education, or people sometimes are proud that they don't have formal education. No, you know, I just learned out there on the street, you know. It's like that old, you know, I'm just an experienced man. You know, I didn't have to go through it. So some people are proud of not going to school. Some people are proud of going to school. But most people are proud in one way or another of what they think they know. And everyone is proud one way or another of, you know, their so-called people, my people. Term Arjuna uses, by the way, in the Bhagavad Gita, swajana. You know, my people. He says, swajanam hi katang hatva sukhinasyami madhava. How should we be happy killing our people? So Narottam Das Thakur says, what is the use of this? It's not going to save you. It's not going to save you. When you change your body, it's all going to go bye-bye. So then he says, ahankare matta hoya. Having become crazy, matta. Has the same word in English and Sanskrit, mud, M-A-D, which Sanskrit pronounce mud, in English you pronounce mad, means exactly the same thing. So here, matta, maddened. So being maddened, ahankare, by false ego. We translate false ego, literally in Sanskrit means egoism. Because, in fact, the Sanskrit word aham, just a little quick linguistic thing here, the Sanskrit word aham, which means I, it's just the first person singular pronoun, I. And as we know, that a Sanskrit H tends to change into a European G, as in the Sanskrit word Wagen, vehicle, becomes German Wagen, as in Volkswagen. And there are other examples. This even actually the word Hutte, which means invoked or prayed for, becomes a German Gott or Gott, and it becomes English word God. So the English word God also is from Sanskrit, by the way. So this H to G, also the word aham, becomes the Greek ego, which means I. And kara just is something like ism here. And so ahankara really just literally means egoism, I-ism. And so Narottam, or as we sometimes say now in English, self-centeredness, or just, you know, being full of yourself, egoism. So, Narottam Das Thakur, this is an old thing. It's not, this wasn't invented with modern psychology. So Narottam Das Thakur says that I became mad. I've become mad, crazy by this egoism, by this false ego. And therefore, nitai padapasarya, pasarya, forgetting the feet of nitai, forgetting his feet, asatyare satyakorimani. I now find truth in untruth. Literally is what he says, that I find truth in untruth. And of course, asatyare, the untruth is, for example, that I'm this body, that I'm always going to be able to hang out in this world, that I don't need to surrender to Krishna, that I'm doing okay without Krishna, etc., etc. All these things are untrue. So Narottam Das Thakur says that I found truth in untruth. Anitayer karunahove brajaradha krishna pabe. However, when the mercy of Nitai comes to me, then I will achieve Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. He specifically says Braje. I will achieve Radha Krishna in Vrindavan, which is what he wants. By getting the mercy of Nitai, dharo Nitai charana dukani. Therefore, you should firmly take shelter of Nityananda's lotus feet. Nitayer charana satya. Very simple statement, which is actually striking by its simplicity. He just says, Nitai's feet are the truth. Or Nitai's feet are true. It's real. It's sort of like sounds like the way we talk nowadays in English. It's real. Nitai's feet are real. And Tahar Sevaka Nitya. And Nitai's servant is eternal. So if you're serving Lord Nityananda, you're acting on an eternal platform. You won't have to pack it up at some point and do something else. You may change your body, but that's a trivial fact. Just like in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's this great Dadichi Muni who was so Krishna conscious that I think Krishna personally go on the demigod's behalf and ask him if he would donate his body. I mean, talk about, you know, the last Brahmin we had here gave only, you know, one of his arms. We thought, well, you could give your body. Anyway, so the Lord asked him to donate his body. So he said, okay. They needed his body for something, some kind of sacrifice. So, but here's the interesting point. He was so Krishna conscious that when he left his body, he didn't even notice it. It was like sometime later, he looked around and, where did I put that body? Oh, well, that's right. So Prabhupada explains in his purport to that verse that if you're Krishna conscious, at the time of death, you do not lose consciousness. I mean, that is a very cool thing. If you think about it, at the time of death, you don't lose consciousness. So therefore, statements like this, that one who serves Nityananda is eternal, it's not hyperbole. In other words, it's not an overstatement. It's not overstating the case. It's not hyperbole. It's really what happens. If you are sincerely serving Nityananda, you actually are on an eternal platform. Nitai pada sada korulash. Therefore, you should always, as Prabhupada said, pin your faith, your hopes, on Nityananda's feet. This word, ash, or asha, hope, your hope, which among the old Christian theology is one of the three great things. What is it? Faith and hope. I forget the third one. Charity. Yeah, but hope is one of the big things. So that's one of the items of surrender, believing that Krishna will save you. So this hope, just like, for example, in the Guru Puja song we just sang, Sura just sang, actually. What is that? That Sri Guru Charane Rati Eise Uttamagati Jay Prasade Pure Sarva Asha. It's funny, you can only remember if you do the whole song, right? If you just jump in the middle, you can't remember it, even though you've done it for 20 years. So, that by His mercy, our desires are fulfilled. But now, if you study the song that we just sang, Jay Prasade Pure, Pure, fulfilled, like Purna, full. Pure just means full, filled. All of our ashas, all of our hopes are fulfilled. But we sang in the previous stanza, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Koriya Aikya Arna Korihe Mane Koriya Mane Asha. Which means that Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, the statement, the words or the order from the lotus mouth of the Guru, Guru Mukha, from the Guru's lotus mouth, Chite Te Koriya Aikya. Literally, I make or I form like total agreement with it in my mind. Aikya means oneness. Within my mind, I establish a oneness, aikya, with the statement of the Guru, with the order of the Guru. And arna, nothing else. Koriha monayasha. And I literally, I mean, here the verb koriha is like to do or to make. I do not make any other hope in my mind. So after saying that I do not make any other, literally, I do not make any other hope in my mind, then it said that all of our hopes are fulfilled. So it doesn't mean, well, I always wanted to, I don't know, be a trillionaire or something, or I always wanted to, you know, have 3,000 wives. I mean, it's this song actually says that the devotee totally surrenders to the order of the Guru and he has no other hope. Other than, he or she has no other hope other than what the Guru has said, and then that, and then your spiritual desires will be fulfilled by the Guru. If we cultivate the right kind of desire, all of our desires will be fulfilled. And it doesn't mean merely selfless desires that totally ignore your own nature and subject yourself, and by which you subject yourself to unnatural, horrible austerities and make a martyr of yourself. Because we do have desires, we have hopes, you know, reasonable hopes for serving Krishna a particular way, and ultimately our reasonable spiritual desires will all be fulfilled. And that same word asha is used here toward the end of the song about Nityananda. Nitai pada sada, always, koro asha. Always make your hope Nitai's feet, literally. Always make your hope Nitai's feet. That should be our faith. That should be our hope, that by the mercy of Nitai, everything will be resolved. Everything will be done. Narottama Borodukhi. So just as artists, you know, at least they used to in a corner, they sign their name. So it's very nice. In Vaishnav songs, they always sign off at the end. You know, they autograph their songs in the last stanza. So here Narottam Das Thakur says, Narottama Borodukhi. Narottama is very unhappy. Narottama Borodukhi. Nitai more koro sukhi. Nitai make me happy. Very interesting. As Prabhupada said, simple Bengali language, but profound. I mean, you try writing a song with simple language and see if 400 years later people still sing it. So these songs are very simple, but they are endowed with such powerful realization, such deep realization, such spiritual potency by the pure author. It's a simple statement. Really, it's not a pun, but it's sort of playing on Nityananda's name, that you are Nityananda. There's even that other song. What is it that Ha Prabhu Nityananda... Premanandasukhi. What is that song? Kripa Avalokana Koro Ami Borodukhi. Yeah, because Nityananda means eternal happiness. Now, what about this? How is this pure devotional service? We'll have to ask our pundits here. How is this? Narottam Das Thakur, obviously a pure devotee, and writing this song where he just says, Narottam is very unhappy. So Nitai, make me happy. Keep me in the corner of your, in the network, in the corner of your feet. Who wants to take a shot at this? We have some pundits here. What is the purport here? Because he says very simply, that Nitai more korosuki. Nitai make me happy. This is not a trick question. It's just a... Yes. Yes, he's begging for the mercy. But is this, what I'm saying is, within the context of pure devotional service, how is this an appropriate prayer? Yeah, but here he specifically says, more here, on me. Yes. That's an interesting insight. That's a very interesting insight that he's just saying, I can't stand it anymore. So, you know, philosophy aside, when you really can't stand it anymore, you just pray. When it's really just too much. And everyone does that. Even in Vrindavan, you find the residents sometimes when it got too scary, all these big Kamsa monsters were coming to town. They just prayed to Krishna. Sometimes things just get so bad that it's not a time for philosophy. It's a time for just crying out. So, Makanlo?
Yeah.
Suspense is building.
Yeah, in the Buddha Lord Chaitanya, he also says that if I had actual frame, I would leave my body. Then I don't have actual frame, or I wouldn't have the body, so called material body. Or in the Buddha Bhaktivinoda, also extreme self deprecation of saying, I am no good.
Yes. Actually, two other things just occurred to me also as I was listening to the devotees. One thing is that obviously Narottam Das Thakur, among other things, is writing this song for the conditioned souls. I mean, he's consciously writing a song to be sung. And people need to know that they'll be happy if they take shelter of Nityananda, which they will be. And they need to know that. Yes. At the same time, we hear, don't try to see Krishna. But they were running all over Vrindavan trying to see Krishna. And so, another thing that occurs to me is that Narottam Das Thakur, as a great Vaishnava Acharya, is very much aware of what real happiness is. And so, to understand what he means by saying, I'm unhappy, make me happy, you have to ask the question, well, what would make a pure devotee unhappy and what would make a pure devotee happy? And so it seems the answer is that he's unhappy because he's not rendering pure devotional service to Krishna, to Nityananda. And when he says, make me happy, he is praying for pure devotional service because that's the only thing that will make him happy. After all, if you're a pure devotee, it means nothing else will make you happy except pure devotional service. So that's actually what he's praying for. And by praying for it in this particular language in terms of happiness and unhappiness, he's also presenting a message which can bring in fallen souls. So it's, in that sense, it's an amazing song because at the same time, in the same very simple language, it actually expresses the deep feelings of everyone, of the purest devotees and the most fallen neophytes. And authentically and naturally, it expresses the deep sentiments of both with very simple language. And so it's quite an amazing song, actually. So now we could sing it with whatever feelings you have. So I guess I will lead. Whoops. Thank you. Nitai pada komala kati chandra sushitala jai chaya jagajuraye Nitai pada kamala Kati chandra sushitala jai chaya jagajura Heno nitai vinevai.
Do shorter pieces.
Heno nitai vinevai. Radha Krishna paite nai. Radha Krishna paite nai. Jidha kori daro nitarpa. Jidha kori daro nitarpa. Se sambandha nahi jar. Se sambandha janma gelatar. Se pashu baradurachar. Se pashu barodurachar Nitai nabolilo mukhe Nitai Majilo sangsara sukhe Vidya kule ki koribe tar Vidya kule ki koribe tar Ahankare mata hoya Ahankare mata hoya Nitai pada pasariya Asatya re satya korimani Asatya re satya korimani Nitayer karuna hove Nitayer Braje Radha Krishna Pave Dharo Nitay Charanadukani Dharo Nitay Charanadukani Nitayer Charana Satya Nitayer Charana Satya Tahara Sevaka Nitya Nitai Padasadha Korvash Nitai Padasadha Korvash Narottama Varadukhi Narottama Nitai More Korosuki Rako Ranga Charaner Pash Rako Ranga Charaner Pash Nitai So, do we have any more time to read or not? What's the situation? No breakfast? So, I won't go on much longer. There's always that. I think devotees must all have this deep inner fear of the class that never ends. So, I think I'll just read very quickly, actually, and then we'll end. We'll just read a summary of one chapter about Lord Nityananda. If I can find it. Well, that's not it. None of these are the chapter summary that you... Adi Lila, chapter 5? Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay, we'll just read this chapter summary, then we'll end. These are the glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. This is Adi Lila, chapter 5. This chapter is chiefly devoted to describing the essential nature and glories of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Sri... Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute personality of Godhead and his first expansion in a form for pastimes of Sri Balaram. Beyond the limitations of this material world is the spiritual sky of Paravyoma, which has many spiritual planets, the supreme of which is called Krishna Loka. Krishna Loka, Krishna's abode, has three divisions known as Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokul. In that abode, the personality of God expands himself into four plenary portions, Krishna, Balaram, Pradyumna, the transcendental Cupid, and Aniruddha, which means unchecked, like the irresistible force. Niruddha means blocked or checked. And so the Lord is called Aniruddha, which means something like the irresistible force. They are known as the original quadruple forms. The Krishna in Krishna Loka is a transcendental place known as Shweta Dvipa, White Island. That's what that means, White Island. Shweta Dvipa or Brindavana, the Brinda forest. Below Krishna Loka, in the spiritual sky, are the Vaikuntha planets. On each Vaikuntha planet, a four-handed Narayan expanded from the first quadruple manifestation is present. The personality of Godhead known as Sri Balaram in Krishna Loka is the original Sankarsana, attracting deity, because Karsana comes from the same root as the word Krishna. And Karsana means pulling or drawing, attracting, and Sang, again, together. So drawing together, pulling together, Sankarsana, which devotees in America sometimes call Sankarshan. So, from this Sankarsana expands another Sankarsana called Maha Sankarsana, who resides in one of the Vaikuntha planets. By his internal potency, Maha Sankarsana maintains a transcendental existence of all the planets in the spiritual sky, where all the living beings are eternally liberated souls. The influence of the material energy is conspicuous there by its absence. On those planets, the second quadruple manifestation is present. Outside of the Vaikuntha planets is the impersonal manifestation of Sri Krishna known as Brahmaloka. On the other side of Brahmaloka is the spiritual Karana Samudra, causal ocean. The material energy exists on the other side of the causal ocean without touching it. In the causal ocean is Mahavishnu, the original Purusha, expansion from Sankarsana. Mahavishnu places his glance over the material energy. Actually, it's hardly... It doesn't talk about Nityananda until the very end. So, maybe I'll just skip to that. Lord Balaram and Krishna, Lord Baladev and Krishna Loka is Nityananda Prabhu. Well, read this. On the Vaikuntha planet, in every universe, is an ocean of milk, and within that ocean is an island called Shweta Dvipa, White Island, where Lord Vishnu lives. Therefore, this chapter describes two Shweta Dvipas, one in the abode of Krishna, the other in the ocean of milk in every universe. The Shweta Dvipa and the abode of Krishna is identical with Vrindavan Dham, which is the place where Krishna appears himself to display his loving pastimes. And the Shweta Dvipa, the Never Universe, is a Shesha form of Godhead who serves Vishnu by assuming the form of his umbrella, slippers, couch, pillows, garments, residence, sacred thread, throne, and so on. Lord Baladev in Krishna Loka is Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu is the original Sankarsana and Mahasankarsana. His expansions as the Purushas and the universes are plenary expansions of Nityananda Prabhu. In this chapter, the author here, what's that? Okay. So much for that. Well, not so much for that, but it's... Anyway, we'll go quickly to this, see if there's anything we can read here. Later pastimes, what's that? Yeah. Nityananda Gosaire Pataila Gaura Deshe Tehu Gaura Desha Bhasaila Prema Rase. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, which is known as Gaura Desh. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu overflooded that country with the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Sahaje Nityananda Krishna Premodam Prabhu Agyai Koila Jaha Taha Premadan. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is by nature, very much inspired in rendering transcendental loving service to Lord Krishna. Now, being ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he distributed this loving service anywhere and everywhere. Tahar charane mor koti namaskar Chaitanya bhakti jeho lauyaila sangsar. I offer innumerable obeisances under the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is so kind that he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So I just want to speak very briefly about that by saying that this is the example. Nityananda, of course, is something we can't imitate Nityananda. I mean, try it if you want. But so we can't imitate Nityananda. But at the same time, as the original spiritual master, he's setting an example. And so he took an order from Lord Chaitanya and went to a particular place to preach. Now, of course, some at different times in our life, we may receive a mandate to travel and preach, especially sannyasis. However, in general, there's this example to be by nature very inspired to preach and to take on some service. Prabhupada actually, in 1970, when Prabhupada made New Dwarka his world headquarters, he said he wanted to train devotees here to go all over the world to preach. That was his vision, actually, for New Dwarka. People would go all over the world to preach Krishna consciousness. And it doesn't mean everyone should just walk out the door and, you know, go to the train station. But in general, we should have that inspiration. In other words, we should not take a spiritual movement and just let it degenerate into just a neighborhood religion. A movement means it has to be moving. It has to be moving. There should be some palpable, some perceptible expansion of this movement. And every one of us should have, every one of us, every man and woman in this movement, or child, should have their own personal inspiration of what their devotional career is going to be. Not just treading, you know, devotional water. But we should have some, first of all, anandam buddhi vardhanam, the ocean of bliss expands, and we should have some idea of how we are going to use this precious, brief life we have to do something to spread this movement. We should have some clear idea what we're going to do, not simply to, you know, cover our own asana, so to speak, you know, protect our position, or just, you know, I just want to be comfortable. It's interesting. I mean, there is some irony in the fact that a movement which so proudly declares that it's a spiritual science because we know we're not the body and we're beyond duality and this and that. And by far you find most of the devotees living in very sort of warm, comfortable places. Which is interesting for a movement which so proudly preaches that we're not the body. So, we need to really, when Prabhupada was here, among the wacky things we did, we did some things right, and the movement spread, and so one of the things I think that was going right was that there was a real inspiration, I think, among many devotees, that they were thinking, okay, I'm getting trained up now, I'm learning about Krishna consciousness, and then I have to go out and make my mark. I have to do something significant, or the best I can, to really spread this movement. And that's the mood of Nityananda. This is not just a religious observance where we're going to do some rituals and say some prayers and hear some pious stories, and then, you know, and then go back home tonight and burp for a while and go to sleep. The whole mood of Nityananda is this ecstatic, inspired spreading of Krishna consciousness, flooding the world. And so we need to, if we want to follow Prabhupada, there's great concern with orthodoxy and are we really following Prabhupada. So guess what? Prabhupada was an inspired preacher, totally in the line of Lord Nityananda. That was Prabhupada. Completely an expansion of Nityananda with this very inspired, expansive, ecstatic mood. And so ultimately, if we want to really follow Prabhupada, we have to somehow find this mood. And if we haven't got it, we should try to associate people that have got it. But we should really be thinking, what's my career? What's my payback? Prabhupada saved me. Prabhupada gave me all this. Now what do I do? We can glorify Nityananda all day, and we should glorify him all day. But the more we glorify him, the greater our debt turns out to be. So if we're glorifying Nityananda, every word we say in praise of Nityananda is a word also stating our debt. And what? How do we pay back the debt? Well, I promise I won't smoke cigarettes how do we pay back our debt? By following him. By doing what he was doing in our own little way. So I think if we can pick up that message today on Nityananda's appearance day, that every one of us should do something dynamic and inspired and ecstatic to push back the darkness of Kali Yuga and spread this movement, then it will be a very happy, successful Nityananda's appearance day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
আমি যমুন পুলিনে কদম্ব কালনে কিহেনিনি সখিয়াত আমি যমুন পুলিনে কদম্ব কালনে কিহেনিনি সখিয়াত
প্রবেশিব অলীলা রসের তরে Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna, whenever